about healthy Christians and healthy churches and what makes that happen in our lives. And we've talked about prayer, we've talked about study, and we're talking a little bit about action today and the scripture lessons. I don't know if you caught what was in those, but there's an awful lot about action in there, about bringing the kingdom of God into the world around us in our everyday lives, preaching the gospel both in word but also in deed. Because it's really impossible to have one without the other. So, I don't know if you know this already, but the very first two Scottish missionaries that were sent to the New Hebrides Islands were actually killed by cannibals there. And after that, it was kind of difficult to find other missionaries that were living there. But there was a guy by the name of John Patton that agreed to go. And very well-meaning people in his church basically said, "You're crazy. Don't do it." They tried to dissuade him. And he said, "I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or worms in the great day. My resurrection body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." And so he had this perspective on his life that someday he's going to die, and he wants to live for Christ with every breath that he has, for as long as he has that breath. And after 15 years of ministry on one of those islands, almost everyone on the island was following Christ. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Someone who lived by faith in the face of circumstances was obedient to God. And look what happened. Who knew 20 kids would show up to VBS? Step out in faith and look what happens. Pretty amazing. The scripture lesson in Hebrews today, and if you want to turn to it in your pew Bible, it's on page 226 in the New Testament. Or if you want to pull it up on your phone, that way you can cheat and check, sports scores or something. But it talks all about living by faith. It's a continued encouragement to us of all these people that have come before us who have lived by faith and as a result have been able to live lives that are pleasing to God, and that God was able to do amazing things in and through. Sometimes amazing things that we think of about God doing might be sort of this flashy outward thing, like going to an island filled with animals and preaching the gospel to them, not dying, and having a bunch of them come to faith in Christ. But something amazing that God could use you with is if you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the Lord tells you to encourage somebody near you that's despondent, and you go and you give them the promises of God and lift them up. That is an amazing act of faith, to step out of what you ordinarily do to bring them the love of Christ. It doesn't have to be going to the island filled with cannibals. If God calls you to that, we pray for you. But you can reach people by faith with the love of Christ in your daily life and work right now. Look at what the psalm said today. So often the psalm floats right past us. In verse 3 it says, "Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and the needy. Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked. They do not know, neither do they understand. They go about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken." Do you know anybody that's weak or orphaned? Anybody that's poor or needy? Do you know anybody in your community that struggles with these challenges? Christ calls us to preach the gospel in word and in deed. As I was thinking about these scriptures of was thinking about that moment when there won't be those that are weak and those that are orphaned and those that are hungry and those that are poor in this world when Christ returns, when all is made right. What a day that is going to be. Can you imagine? You should read about it in Scripture. It's so exciting. It's so exciting to read about that and to see how God is going to change everything and restore the creation to what it was before we as people decided that we could do it better than God. It reminded me of a quote. You're going to guess from whom? C.S. Lewis, right? I often remark about him. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he writes, "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrow will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again." In C.S. Lewis' writings, in the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan is the figure of Jesus Christ. And this is talking about him coming and what he brings with him. And when Christ comes, he will set everything right. But until then, we have a job to do. We have a job to do as Christians. We have a job to do as a church. And it's more than a job. It's a command. It's a calling. It is a holy investment that Christ has made in our lives that we are to pay forward to those around us. We are called to bring the kingdom, not just the word of truth, but in word and in deed. Do we enjoy the benefits of knowing Christ, of being able to pray and sitting in his presence and reading his holy word, but then just sit around and say, "Wow, that's great," and not share it in word and in deed with those around us that need it? In James chapter 2, it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" This scripture is not saying that we're saved because we do good things. It's saying that because we have experienced the transforming power of Jesus Christ in our lives, if our faith in him is true, we will naturally want to reach out to those around us and to open the door to meet their needs spiritually and physically. And we will not just look at someone who's hungry and say, "Be filled." Does that sound crazy? It is. It doesn't work. Right? If our faith is real, if we have known God in prayer and known him through the reading of his word, his truth is implanted into our hearts, then our faith will translate into action as a natural outgrowth of our faith. In VBS this week, one of the last things we talked about was having the fruits of the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, lives within us and leads us and guides us and changes us and make something new out of our hearts, we begin to bear different fruit. Instead of bearing the fruit of the world, which I represent to the kids with a nice pointy thistle leaf and pine cones and sticks and rocks, we begin to exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what they are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control.
You missed faithfulness.
Faithfulness, you missed that? No. Really? Wow. I got to work on that.
No Starburst for you.
No Starburst for me. many of you have all those working in your life 100% of the time, perfectly? I haven't arrived yet. But as we allow Christ to transform us and to change us, when we would ordinarily want to react with the fruit of the world out of anger or impatience or maybe something not so graceful, Christ in us overrides that. And that transformation allows us to react differently. We are called and invited to live in Christian community, to study, to pray, and then to apply in our lives, in our church, in our community around us, what Christ has taught us and what Christ has done for us. We are called and invited to walk with one another on this road that is laid out before us. Despite having all of our warts and imperfections, despite having not arrived yet, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. We are called together to discover more of the depths of the riches, of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We are called to profess our faith in Christ and to be baptized. We are invited to grow in relationship with Jesus. We are invited to wrestle with the mysteries of God that we will never figure out this side of glory. We are invited to partake in the holy sacraments of communion and baptism as we remember Christ's life, his death, his resurrection. And we are challenged to be changed on such a deep level that we actually become the instrument of God to this world, to bring the world to Christ. We're called to walk in faith and in the real and active power of the Holy Spirit, which is the real presence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, moving in us and through us to bring the kingdom of God in word and in deed. And we are called to put our faith into action in ways that might make us uncomfortable, to bring the truth of the gospel spoken and acted upon. We are called not just to survive this life and get through it, but to thrive in the Christian life, to live into the fullness of our relationship with God and Christ, and to carry that fullness with us everywhere in our daily life and work. We're supposed to integrate prayer and study into our lives in such ways that we have a powerful outflowing of the love and the life of Christ to others around us in word and in action. This happens when we meet, when we fellowship, when we pray, when we study, when we gather in small groups, when we gather for Bible study, when we connect with each other throughout the week. This happens as we encourage each other in life and in the faith, even as we confess our struggles with one another, and we pray with and hold each other up. This happens as we turn our hearts from being inward to being outward, and we extend the riches and the beauty and the bounty of God's spiritual provision, what He has entrusted to us in ministry to the world around us. This means that we can teach people about our faith in word, but we had better show up in our actions as well. We need to do as Christ did. He went with the people. He went to the people that no one else wanted to go to. We can't insulate ourselves from the problems of the world and the difficult people in the world who have need. We have to roll up our sleeves. We have to get with the people. We have to go where they are. We have to find someone who's actually hungry. And in the name of Jesus, give them some food. We have to find someone who is lonely and visit them. We have to find someone who's sick and go and be with them, pray with them, comfort them. Find someone who's widowed. Give them a phone call. Care for them. Find someone who's in despair. and feels like they have no hope, and extend the hope and healing found in Christ, we are called to bring the kingdom of God, to live the faith in word and in action. I want to close with an encouraging story for you. 1799, anybody remember that year? It's a man named Conrad Reed. He was fishing in Little Meadow Creek in North Carolina. And he found a 17-pound rock in the creek. And he didn't know what it was made of. And so his family used it as a doorstop for about 3 years. 1802, his father, John Reed, took it to a jeweler. He identified it as a lump of gold worth about $3,600 back then. And so that lump of gold, which was used as a doorstop in North Carolina, is one of the biggest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rockies. You all have pure gold in great quantity, priceless amount, that is given to you. Don't let it sit in your house as a doorstop.